the remainder of Andrew's time to our next speaker, who is Victor Sanchez Rico. He is the project manager for the MIPI test software at Bitify, a Keysight Solutions partner for high-speed interfaces, a computer science engineer, father of three, and sports car enthusiast. You can ask him about sports car. That's pretty good. Victor promises to solve your testing needs while proudly showing you pictures of his daughters on his MIPI-enabled smartphone. So be sure to ask him to show you his MIPI-enabled smartphone and pictures of his daughters. All right, please help me welcome Victor to the stage. I think he's getting mic'd up. He'll be right. All right, great. Thank you.
Hello.
Welcome.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Hi. Hello, all. Well, yeah, as he said, I'm Victor Sanchez Rico. I'm with Bitify. I'm here today to talk to you about physical layer testing. This is sometimes an underestimated topic in a way, meaning that it often happens we think too much about developing the specification, come up with a great solution, but forget about the testing side along the way. And then this leads, very often we get customers asking, hey, how do I test this? How can I make it better? It's, you know, even in big companies, you have one team, one division of the company taking care of the development on the product, and then when they are done, when they have a prototype, they just send it over to the evaluation teams, and the evaluation team is clueless, let's say, sometimes about what to do with it. So I would like to take this opportunity to think about how we can make things better, easier to test from the beginning. This should really help make it easier, make it more effective, make it cheaper, which in the end is also very important. So, yeah, what do we... Oh, this slide is... Sorry. Give me 1 second. Okay, well, at least one slide is missing from the deck. So, anyways, I had a slide with a lot of ideas on how we can actually make, or what do we want? I had like a wish list of what we want for the testing. So, first thing we would want is that there is a standardized way of testing, that we have a way, and we don't really have to think, we don't really have to improvise, that there is a written book on how to test. This is good for everyone. It's definitely making our job easier in the test and measurement companies, but it's good for everyone. Then what else could we want? That it's simple, that we don't have to reinvent the wheel every time. Also, we want comparable results. You probably want that it doesn't matter if you are using a test solution from Bitify or from one of the many other companies in this business. You want to be able to compare if it's a big company, you have labs in different locations, and you want to be able to compare results. It has happened to us that a customer is coming and saying, hey, this particular device, it works with a solution from your competitor, but it doesn't pass, it fails the test with your solution, so yeah, what about it? Well, it's unfortunate, but it happens sometimes. We also want, that we can reuse instruments. We don't want to be buying a new test setup every time. We want that it's easy to run, that we don't need to prepare a lot. So anyway, we came up also with a matrix. what we want. So important, we want comparable results, we want cheap, low-cost testing, and the cost is measured also in time, so fast testing speeds. We want this when we are testing in-house, we also want it for interoperability testing. We want, if there is a test house, someone is looking to establish a test house or to use it, it should also be more or less painless. And yeah, we want to, well, not we, because we sell test systems, but you usually want to have a good choice. You don't want to be captive to one test solution provider. You want to have a good choice, and you want to be able to to compare results and also to differentiate, to see what, easily what's the advantage of one solution in front of other, things like that. So let's go and see what the what is being done right now. Okay. One very common way of testing high-speed PHYs is loopback. I'm sure many of you are familiar with it. Loopback, we have, BERT or something else, but very often a bit error rate tested tester is used. This has two sides. This has a test pattern generator and a test pattern analyzer. And basically, loopback is very simple, you could say. Let's see if I get the pointer to work. Yeah. Okay, so the test pattern generator is sending data to the receiver of the duty. Then this data is being received, decoded, hopefully properly, and then it's being sent back to the test pattern analyzer. And the BERT is very good and very fast at comparing these two data streams. And it basically, if both streams are matching, if both patterns are matching, you get a good result, zero errors. If they are not matching, it can tell you how many errors there are. And with this, you can calculate the bit error rate. This is very easy, very easy when it works. It's fast once you have set it up, but it has a couple of issues as well sometimes. So problems. One challenge that we face very often when testing with loopback is that the duty is coming out of test mode. Sometimes the test pattern generator, the test equipment, needs to, in a way, restart. For example, you change the data rate, the test equipment will go dead, will go idle for a second, and then it will restart again. When this happens, many devices that require a continuous data stream coming into the receiver, they will follow the test equipment and die and lose the configuration. And then, it's no big deal, but then you need a solution for this. Either you have one test operator, one guy, then doing some things with the duty, or typing in some commands in his computer that is then putting the duty again into test mode. Or if you want to save time, you can have this task automated. Some people are using Python scripts, for example, to automate this. Yeah, it can be done, but it's very time-consuming, and it's not standard. So it always requires, for each duty that you get, for different duties, you have a different test environment. So it requires adaptation, manual intervention. It's not optimal, let's say. Also, big disadvantage is it's hard to test bursted data. Loopback works beautifully with a continuous data stream, but once you want to test bursted data, it doesn't work so well. The analyzers in the BERTs are getting better and better. It's really impressive what they can do, but still, when there is bursted data, sometimes they don't work as well as we would wish. So, yeah, that's one area for improvement. Another thing is some tests you simply cannot do with loopback. You can see you are sending data and you are getting it back, you are comparing, that's fine. But for example, in MIPM5, we have these squelch tests. And there, first, you need to be able to put the device into this hibernate mode, into this energy saving mode. And with loopback, you just cannot do it. You can do it with other approaches, but not with loopback, without manual intervention. So, you know, manual intervention is fine when you just want to test one device quickly, see what happens. But if you want to automate it, if you want to do environmental control, so testing with a PVT testing is called with different temperature, pressure in the chamber, you want to be able to leave it running overnight or over the weekend, and then you come back on Monday, you have your test results. Yeah, with loopback, it's very complicated. So this could be summarized in this slide. Interoperability testing, forget about it. In interoperability testing, you want to have one transmitter and one receiver, and this with loopback, I can hardly see how it would work. Choice of test systems, yeah, that's no problem. You have different setups from different test equipment manufacturers, no problem. Test houses, yeah, it's also possible. The problem in both cases comes with the cost and the time that it would take you. It's once you get used to it and you are testing the same device or similar device for the second time, it's easier, but the setup, the first time setup is not so simple. And for example, for a test house that they are getting one device from one manufacturer and the next week they are having something for a different manufacturer, they want to be able to start quickly, not waste half of a week just to set things up. So, yeah, next approach, sideband. In sideband test, you have, again, you can have a BERT, or you can have an arbitrary waveform generator, or you can have some other test equipment that is just sending the test pattern to the duty. And then the duty has some built-in error counters. The duty is receiving the test stream and it's analyzing it itself, seeing if there are errors. Maybe you can have a simple CRC checker inside, see what goes on in there. And then you have some sideband connection, some proprietary connection to a computer, to a test system. This sometimes it's a JTAG connection, it could be I2C, I3C. And this works very well, but it's a proprietary solution. So for each device, or at least for each manufacturer, you will have a different way of doing things. And this requires an additional connection to the duty, and this is, again, customer specific. So, yeah, it works very well, but again, it has some disadvantages. So, the biggest problem is the time that it takes to set it up. Even when you are testing in-house within your company, if you are a test engineer, a validation engineer, you get a new device, you get some fixtures, some things that you can connect to your computer and test, but then usually this comes really bare. Sometimes you get a solution from the IP provider, but then this is again not designed for a fully automated test. You have some tool that you can click some buttons and you can do some things and you can set the duty in the right test mode, or you can see visually in your screen the error counters, but if you want to run tests overnight, it's not complete, let's say. So it lacks this part of a fully automated solution. And this translates into time translates into money. So that's it. Now, what else? Well, maybe some people will be surprised by this, but there are still some standards, some files, where a visual test is done. By visual test, I mean, for example, in the case of HDMI. You are testing a panel, a TV, and you really can have an operator or several sitting in front of a TV, watching some special patterns and seeing if the pattern is displayed properly on the screen or not. Until he is distracted with WhatsApp from his wife, or he falls asleep, and then he doesn't see anything anymore. And then, not very reliable. Cost, well, it's relative. But if the operator is missing something and doesn't realize an error, then the cost is very high, because you are putting on the market something that might not work. Interoperability, hard to do. And for test houses, this is definitely not a good approach, because they have to, in a way, guarantee that they are testing properly. And this is no way to test. So I stop with this, and we go now to a solution. What would be the solution? So we think, at least, that the solution is to have a PHY test mode, to define, really, in the specification of the standard, how you have to test, how you can test. So have a functionality that allows you to configure the duty, to set the duty for test. And ideally, you do this just with inbound control commands. So you don't need any special equipment, you don't need anything else. You have your test equipment, and the test equipment itself, regardless from which manufacturer it comes, it will do say the same thing, and it will set the device up for testing without any worry, without any intervention from the test operator. The test operator will check a couple of buttons, click start, and the test will start. So one way to enable this, for example, is to have a simplified link startup. You don't need for this test mode, for this inbound control, you don't need a full link negotiation. When you start a link, there is usually a capability exchange. This is, in general, too much. It's really not needed. If you just want to test the PHY, you can have it in a simpler way. You need error counters, definitely. You need at least two counters, a counter for the good bits that are transmitted and a counter for the bad bits, for the errors. This way you can calculate the bit error rate easily. Ideally, this is implemented as low as possible in the duty. So in the physical layer, in the adaptation layer, the lower the better, because you want to test a duty that is not market ready, you know. So the lower in the layers, the better. Nice to have feature, let's say, that could be really interesting, is that if you wouldn't need test equipment at all, you could have, in this test mode, you could have a way that a master device, let's say a controller, can configure another device for test and test it. You know, you have a host device and a memory device, a slave device. You could have the host just send some data to the memory and retrieve it back and compare that the data matches. And it wouldn't give you the full test solution that a dedicated test equipment can give you, but it would enable you to do some things. For example, it would enable you to do interoperability very easy. As I said, this test mode would be a standard between the industry, because it's defined in the specification, and then every test and measurement manufacturer has to follow it. Then you have an absolute choice of test system. It doesn't matter which company you choose, it will just work. For test houses, it's also easy. They can buy whatever solution is available in the market, and whatever customer that comes their way wanting to test their device, the setup should be very fast, very quick. Now, this, I know it sounds very, very well, but maybe you are asking yourself, yeah, that sounds great, but can you really do it? And well, the answer is yes, because we have done it already. So I'm going to explain a little bit how we do it in UniPro. So EnFi has one of the layers above, one of the protocols above EnFi is UniPro. And UniPro did a really great job defining Phi test mode. It's really neat and it really works very well. So basically, and here I outline our solution, but others could follow and implement it in a similar way. So let me see. In this case, you could have two generators because in EnFi, all the configuration, all the configuration of the test mode is done in PWM, in low speed. So it's better to have a dedicated PWM generator because otherwise doing this with high speed generator is, well, it's doable, but it's very time consuming. You have to generate the data by oversampling. And with the speed difference, PWM is 5-6 megabit per second. You can have a pattern that is at high speed playing at 12 gigabit per second. So it's better to have dedicated equipment. Then we have a switch here that it's either connecting one generator or the other to the receiver. And it's connected to the first receiver lane. In EnFi, you can have up to 4 lanes. This always goes to the first one. Then the rest of the lanes are just used for testing. So you can just connect them directly to the test pattern generator. And then what you do is you connect the first transmitter lane of the DUT to a protocol analyzer or a pattern recorder, something that is able to see what is coming back from the DUT. And then it's not depicted here in the picture. We didn't want to make it fuller than it is, but you can also have a reset pin. And then either of your generators, it doesn't matter, it would have one additional connection to the device that it would be used to reset the device, basically. So how would that work then? Easy. First, you would issue this reset signal to the device to put it in a clean, known state. And then if you have a test automation above this, the test automation would connect this path here. So the protocol generator, PWM protocol generator would be connected to the first receiver pin of the DUT, and then it would just send configuration packets, configuration patterns to the DUT. And this, in the case of EnFi UniPro, it's not interactive. The protocol generator is saying, wake up, because the DUT is in power safe mode. It would say, wake up, and I want you to configure your receiver for 4-lane operation, in gear 4B, and I want that your transmitter, that your transmitter is then sending the responses in PWM gear 1. I'm going to send you busted data and, you know, some other parameters that are needed in EnFi. After that is done, simply the test automation would change this path here and would connect the test pattern generator. And then from the high-speed generator, you would just get bursts of test data. In the case of EnFi, it's a CJT path pattern. You would send the test pattern to the device. The device would see, would decode the pattern, see if there are errors or not, and then automatically interleave with this test pattern. The same hardware can send requests to the DUT asking how many good frames are you seeing, how many errors are you seeing. When the DUT receives this, it automatically responds to the transmitter with the frame, the good frame and the error counter. And simply, you have the test automation on top of this, so the test automation will graph these values, will calculate the bit error ratio, and that's it. Once, I mean, if there are errors, test automation will stop the test because there are errors, so you have to figure that out. If there are no errors, the test automation will continue going until the target bit error rate is met. Done. And it really works very well. This is a bit complicated. It seems complicated, but it really is not that hard. Transmitter test. Well, in the transmitter test case, it's so much easier. You don't need so much equipment. You just have this protocol generator, the same one as we had before, connected to the first receiver line of the duty, and then you have your transmitter lanes connected to oscilloscope. Then, yeah, you send the reset signal to the duty, then you send some easier, simpler configuration pattern, just telling the duty, send on your first lane or on all your lanes, whatever, send the continuous or a busted CR path pattern. The duty will just start sending it out, and some software running on the scope will analyze the signal and will tell you signal is good enough or not. So this really meets all the requisites that we have. Comparable results, sure. I mean, it's really reliable. And it doesn't matter if you are using test equipment from one company or from another, because really all the test equipment is doing is enabling the duty to do the test. Okay, yeah, you are sending the test pattern needs to be well calibrated, it needs to be of good quality, but the duty itself is counting the errors. For test houses, it's really great because they don't need any preparation. And yeah, the investment might be a bit higher. It is a bit higher because you need additional hardware, but it's hardware that then you can reuse because it's a standard. And with the time that you save, it's really worth it. So now let's think about A5. I think probably most of you have heard about A5. It's MIPI for automotive. And here we face a new challenge. And that is that there is just one cable. In M5, you have two cables. You have two directions, so you have two cables. You have one for the receiver, one for the transmitter, uplink and downlink. In A5, everything must go on the same wire. And that has one problem, that at the same time, in the same portion of the wire, you are going to have data on both directions. So we need to come up with some fixture that is able to separate the data, and that ideally it's clean, it's as transparent as possible, you know, because if you are going to send the stressed pattern, I imagine we will probably have some jitter tolerance test. Well, you want to calibrate the jitter and your fixture should not add jitter. Sure, we can calibrate it out, but ideally, you know, the cleaner it is, the better. And similarly for transmitter test, you want to see what the device is sending. You don't want to see what the device is sending through a fixture. And again, scopes nowadays are really powerful, and they can also de-embed the effect of the fixture, but the nicer, the better. So, yeah, we are actually looking into possibilities. I think we will find something. Something else about A5 that is really challenging, okay? A5 uses a very long and a very lossy channel. You have a car, you have many meters of cables, you don't have only one sensor, you have many sensors. So there are two concerns here. One concern is you should have a very light cable. The less weight you add to the car, the better, and this is let's say this has always been important, but now with the electrification of cars, it's even more important. You don't want to run out of battery. It's not as fast as refueling your gasoline car. And the other thing, of course, is the cost. You have many meters of cable. If it's expensive cable, it's a more expensive car. So, in sum, it's a long, it's a lossy channel, so we have to test through the channel. So we still need to see if this will be possible or not. If you use an arbitrary waveform generator, for example, you could think that you can embed the channel, and then, I mean, by embedding, I mean that the test equipment simulates the channel. You don't need a real channel, but yeah, it's still, it remains to be seen. We are still investigating if it's possible to embed this channel and have a reliable implementation of it, or if the other alternative would be that, unfortunately, we need to test through the actual physical channel. We'll see. Another problem with embedding it, besides the reliability, is that this is a lot of mathematical operations that need to happen on the test equipment, and this is possibly very time consuming. We'll see. Yeah. So now I'd like to talk to you a little bit about Bitify. Because maybe many of you might not know us. So, who are we? Or, well, let's start with where are we? We are based in Böblingen, in Germany. We are a single location company, which is kind of uncommon, but that's because we work together with Keysight. I'm sure many of you do know Keysight. So, we are the solution partner of Keysight when it comes to test automation. We take their instruments, which in general are general purpose instruments, and we do the test automation layer on top of them. We have software for MIPI, for all flavors, high speed meaning. So we have C-Fi, D-Fi, and Fi. We are definitely looking into A-Fi. We see a lot of potential there. We also have some complementary products. We have, for example, for HDMI, we have test fixtures that are really a success. For M5, we have this instrument called the DSGA that you can use to do the configuration of the test modes that I was telling you about before, and it can also record the responses from the DUT. And yeah, as I said, we focus on the physical layer test, on the receiver side especially, both for compliance test and for characterization. We were actually the first company to come up with this purely automated concept. And we are also lately doing more services besides the software and the accessories. Here you can see a picture of our lab. You see it's really crowded with instruments, TVs, test equipment. Together with Keysight, we are supporting many interoperability workshops. I think in a couple of weeks, a colleague of mine is coming to support the PCIe Gen 5 workshop. Whenever also there is a UFS certification workshop, we are always there. And yeah, we have many partners to cover more ground. GRL, for example, Allion, I think Allion is here in Taiwan. Eurofins is a partner company for a protocol test, so we do the PHY, they do the protocol, works well. Yeah. So yeah, that's it. Please, if you have any question, go ahead.
Thank you, Victor. Yes, any questions for Victor? I know you're all hungry. You want to go to lunch, but I have a couple of questions.
Please.
So tell us about commonalities between any MIPI and other digital high-speed buses.
Well, what can I say? They are very similar and very different at the same time, you know. In general, they drink from each other, so we don't reinvent the wheel. You know, there is a lot in common, especially, you know, when some other bus, for example, PCI Express, would go faster. They already see how to go faster, so we also then for the MIPI files we get inspiration from it. There are many differences as well. So it's I think it's good. It's an advantage for Bitify that we are working with all these high-speed buses because this enables us to already know the problems and we can come faster to the solutions.
Okay, great. Before I ask my next question, I want to give you a chance to. Oh, we have a question right there.
Cool.
Hello. Yeah, thank you for your presentation. I just want to ask that your solution, is it also based on the loopback test mode, right? You need the transmitter as well to test the receiver, right? And the follow-up question is, if I just develop the a slave file only, mean the receiver mode only, can I use your system to test my receiver?
Let me see if I can come back. I will start with the first question with loopback. This is a bit slow, but I'm getting there. Yeah, so loopback. Yeah, in the case of loopback, you have the test equipment is sending the pattern, and then it's receiving the pattern from the DUT. So what was your question again?
Yeah, I mean your last solution, your solution. Your,
yeah.
It is also based on the same the loopback mode, right?
No. Let me show you. Here, what we do is we send the test pattern, so we have the sending part, but then the DUT is receiving this data. This can be high-speed data. And it's counting the errors here. You have a pattern checker inside. There are different ways, but you are counting the errors here. And then the DUT is only telling us how many errors it has seen. So it's, yeah, there is a back channel, but in the case of loopback, the DUT is more or less transparently sending back exactly the same data that it receives. Here, it receives a lot of high-speed data really fast, and it only sends once in a while how many good frames it saw and how many errors it saw. So yeah, there is communication, but it's different. And yeah, please.
Yeah, thank you. Understand. So the DS is just the low speed, right?
Yeah. Well, it could also be high speed. In our implementation, it is low speed because it's simpler in a way. But it could also be high speed. That's the beauty of this fighters mode that UniPro defined. when you are configuring the device, if your test equipment is only able to receive data in high speed, you can tell the device enable the high speed for the first transmitter. And that's it. It will work the same.
Yeah, thank you.
Okay. Yeah, and you had another question?
No. My second question also, you also answer because
okay.
I just have a high speed receiver and then I just designed the low speed transmitter to test.
Okay. Thanks.
All right. Any other questions from the audience? Okay. I'll let you think about your next question. While I ask Victor another question, what are the specialties in testing MIPI A-PHY?
Well, I think the biggest one, as I was showing, it's really different to other PHYs, is that there is a return channel, but it's on the same physical wire, so you have to somehow be able to combine the signals that you are sending, and then you need to separate the responses. Actually, it's even more complicated than that because I omitted one thing when I was speaking. when you are sending the test pattern to the duty in a high speed, or well, test pattern or the real data once your device is in a car, at the same time that you are sending the high speed data, you need to be sending low speed data, which provides a clock. So you really, you know, when we are testing, we need to have a three-way fixture. It needs to be able to combine the high speed data from the test equipment, the low speed clock data from the test equipment, and the data that is then coming back from the file. So that's really something where we need to investigate more. We are looking into it with some partners, but yeah, that's really different. And then, yeah, the very long channel is another very big difference. With the rest of the files, you know, MIPI started with mobile, with phones. Mm-hmm. Cars are mobile as well in another way. You have very short connections, very short channels. So, sure, you have to take the interconnect into account, but it's so much easier than with a car. There are other challenges as well. Because you have a very long channel, you are also more susceptible to interference. Yeah, I would say that's okay. That's some of the differences.
Okay, great. Questions from the audience? All right, well, you get your wish. We're going to end the morning session. Lunch will be served next door. And be sure to check out all the demonstrations as well. Thank you so much. We'll see you back here at 1:15.